Let me go to the next question. In order to cover the general election more effectively, and talk to you people in the media here, what changes must mainstream journalism make so that the public is well served, particularly in light of Trump's domination of the media and social media during the primary? Is the media bear some responsibility for Donald Trump's success?
I will say something, because that's a question that's always asked. And I believe that Donald Trump did something we don't see from a lot of candidates. And that is, he made himself accessible. He went on television when other candidates were saying, you know what, I'm the front runner, Jeb Bush. I'm the front runner, Ted Cruz, whatever it is.
Scott Walker.
And Scott Walker, right? And Donald Trump figured out very early on that you can actually be listened to and get your point across if you actually talk directly to the American people. It helped that he was a celebrity. I understand that. And the others are not. And Donald Trump has been in front of the American viewers for, you know, a dozen years at least.
Not as long as Chris, but a long time.
but Donald Trump, I think, has...
Deep point. Very important point.
I think he's kind of reset the way presidential candidates will approach their campaigns, because by appearing in public, people listen to him. And you can't get your point across unless you talk to the public. And so by making yourself less accessible, I don't think you make yourself more successful. By the end of the campaign, when you had 17 candidates, and then they started dropping out, the candidates started to suddenly understand that Trump had succeeded where they had failed. And they're suddenly saying, how about going on Hardball? Or how about, you know, going on CNN? Or how about going on PBS? Because they understood that he had done something that they did not do. Suddenly, I mean, Hillary Clinton is much more accessible now, for example, as a candidate. And so I think that's a lesson we take from this.
Chris?
I think the days of the gatekeeping role of the press is past.
Right.
When somebody like Johnny Apple, the New York Times, or David Broder, or someone would decide whether you're acceptable or not. And Jermaine was like this. He had read a really important column, and the word would be out, Jimmy Carter's okay. Or, you know, and somebody else would write, this guy's a lightweight or something. I think those days of our role is not what it was. We don't decide who you vote for. We show you the person. Now, I have experimented to the extent I can with the audience size that Trump draws. Sometimes our audience goes down when we put him on. Sometimes it goes up. It's not predictable. We try to go in and catch the part of his speech each night when he's saying something new, something newsworthy. Then we see the shtick coming, the old vaudeville act, and we cut it off. It's hard to be able to isolate that in real time, but we try to do it. I mean, I tell you, the cracks against media and against Trump are relentless. People all know his problems. You all know his. Don't tell me you figured it out. It's there. We have exposed Trump in every one of his weirdnesses. Everything he said, whether it's about Rafael Cruz or anything he's ever said, we know about it. This country's incredibly well informed about Trump. We really are. There's no secrets. He's out there spouting it every night. So you all are wonderfully able to judge the guy. You want us to keep something from you? Fine. But the way is, we've exposed him. And yet people have a very mixed response. In this room, I'll bet there's 200 or 300 Trump voters right here. You haven't shown yourself yet, but you're here. I have picked you out, by the way. I have been picking out the faces of the men in the first 4 or 5 rows. I know who you are. I know exactly who you are. And I'll be glad to expose you if you ask.
Don't tell your wife.
I'll be glad to expose you. So it's the reality. We've tried to let people judge themselves. You're all grown-ups. You can decide. If you think Trump ought to be president, vote for him. If you don't, don't. It ain't complicated. Your other option is Hillary. That's it. It's binary. It's steak or fish, as the president said the other night. Steak or fish. It's what it is. It's the system we've got. It's the business we've chosen, and we're stuck with it. If you don't like Trump, vote for Hillary. And don't tell me you don't know enough about the guy because the media's kept him from you, or we've covered up for him. We've shown you this guy. I guess I could put Jeb Bush on the air. But you know what we do every night? Every day. I got a ton of bookers, 3 bookers now. All they do is start the phone calls in the morning when I get into work. And by 9-something, everybody's been asked to come on the show. And Trump's the one that might show up. And the other one, Kasich, shows up. There's a few that show up. They're afraid of us. They don't want to come on these shows and be questioned. You think Trump? He's going to be hard for me to get back. But, you know, he's hard. He's just hard to get. But, you know, at least he's come on the show. And I think it's, don't blame the media. Somebody over there is blaming the media. You in the yellow dress. You were blaming the media. Yes, you were. I saw you. You're blaming the media. Grow up. You can handle it. You can choose. You know what? You know everything you need to know about Trump, right, madam?
Yes.
Yes. So now you don't need any more information from us, right? Okay. Enough said.
Mr. Secretary, back in 1998, when I became conference chairman, and I was in charge of communications and trying to put a message out there that the American people would know what we were doing, there were literally people at the leadership table that thought that we should, as Republicans, we should punish the press. And let's say maybe some reporter had said something bad about Republicans, and we had one or two advocates that would say, let's punish them. You know, why are we talking to CNN? Why are we talking to Fox? Why are we talking to MSNBC?
Fox. And you didn't have any problem with Fox. Well, Fox. I don't believe that
but
part.
But I just threw them in to be bipartisan. But,
what did Mr. DeLay say?
But they said, we should, why are we even talking to them? I said, hey, look, they have viewers that have a perspective. I said, we sent out press releases after the President's State of the Union address, and the next day, because we didn't make the story, I had the press secretary call the folks and say, why did you not print our story? And they said, oh, literally, they said, oh, you wanted us to print that? We've never gotten anything from the Republican conference. I said, yes. I said, I want our side of the story to be in the story. And I worked the press, and I found the press to be very open to me when I was conference chairman to say, yeah, we'll give you an opportunity to tell your side of the story. But we literally had people that would say, don't talk to them. Let's punish them. And my argument was, you know, if the pastor's just preaching to the choir, the church isn't going to grow. We need to be talking to red, yellow, brown, black, and white. Yeah. We need to be talking to liberal, conservative, Republican, Democrat, etc.
Let me ask on that point. Has social media changed your
totally.
Impact? In other words, Trump's obviously used Twitter. A lot of people are using Twitter now. And has social media changed the way candidates communicate with the American
yeah,
people?
Yeah, it's instantaneous. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's instantaneous, and the way Trump is so smart is that he'll tweet something at 10 o'clock at night, understanding that it will then dominate the morning shows and the news cycle. And he gets that. And social media has changed everything because nothing sits for more than 10 seconds. Nothing sits. There's a news event that occurs, and we hear it
keep
instantaneously. So, you know, when you ran for president, it used to be that there was an off-Broadway. You kind of auditioned in New Hampshire. You saw how good you were. See if you move on. There's no off-Broadway anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
You start out on Broadway. And if you're someone like Donald Trump, who's used to playing to a
That's
big
right.
crowd and used to being on television and used to and understands the media as well as he does, yeah. It's a very big advantage. And he knew how to use it, and he still does know how to use it.
And he's of it, too. He's not. He's
right.
of it.
Right.
Yeah. He's on his plane watching cable all day long. It starts with Morning Joe, and he's having his little thing with him now. And he's watching it. He's reacting. It's instantaneous.
Yeah.
I mean, I would imagine Hillary Clinton talks to her stepdad. What's happening on television now? I mean, I don't think she's connected. I remember, and by the way, you know, Mr. Secretary, you know from politics, you have to be in it.
Yeah.
You have to be swimming in that water all the time. When you get an old speechwriter to come back and help the president, nobody wants it. Nobody wants it. You've not been in the, you're not in the water. You don't want campaign advice from outside the campaign. You're not in it. And unless you're in it, you can't talk in the conversation. There's a conversation going on right now, probably on, I'm trying to get my East Coast time, Hannity or something, or O'Reilly. They're having a conversation right now. And somebody will have a conversation after that related to that. And they get up in the morning, they'll be talking to Morning Joe or somebody. It's a conversation that's going on all the time. And Trump is not doing any briefing papers on that plane. He's listening to that conversation so he can jump in anytime he wants to,
mm-hmm.
tweet anytime he wants.
Mm-hmm.
And these other guys are totally back in the 20th century on this stuff. He's there. And,
you know,
and it's not a brain power thing. He just says, I love it. I want to swim in it. I want to be it. I want people to pay attention to me all the time. And that's Trump.
And he's
you know, and I think, my personal opinion, I think Jeb Bush or John Kasich probably were the most qualified to be president on the Republican side. But I think Bush's campaign was stuck in the decade of the 80s. The campaign they were running, it was an old guard, you know, lock up the money,
lock up the
endorsement, lock up the establishment. Yeah. And, you know, politics has done a 180 from where it was when he ran for governor the last time before.
Okay, let's talk about money and politics. Unlimited campaign financing and lobbying have appeared to strip the average American of a voice in Washington. Is there any way to fix this? Mark?
The premise is right. There's a sense that money dominates, that big money is listened to, genuflected before, respected and deferred to. That's right. And this is where I will speak in defense of Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders, to his everlasting credit, has met that premise head on. It's one that both parties accepted. The Democrats had accepted it. Democrats had accepted that, if we stop taking nine-figure contributions from very, very wealthy sources, then we'll unilaterally disarm. And the Republicans would win. And Bernie Sanders said, baloney. And I'm going to raise money in small amounts. And you know, everybody who's semi-conscious knows, average contribution, $27. $27, and he's raised $230 million. He raised more than Hillary Clinton did. And he's made it into a very successful political vehicle as well, because every time Hillary Clinton now has to raise money, she has to go to hedge fund manager to host a party in his beautiful suburban home, and there's the cameras, and just reinforcing the narrative that she is too close and too chummy to Wall Street. But Bernie Sanders has done this and given a sense of empowerment to all these people who turn out and support him. And the other thing, perhaps most important of all, and he's been criticized for his economic plan. I just say this, he has an economic plan that is different from Republicans. And when you take money from the same people, if you're a Democrat and a Republican, you're not going to have a distinct economic policy as a Democrat. It's going to be all kind of merged and mushy in the middle. And Bernie Sanders has done that. And I think he's really thrown down the gauntlet to Democrats everywhere. Now, the problem is that he's of the left, but the Democratic Party has moved to the left. The Republican Party has moved to the right. But make no mistake, the money thing, in spite of Jeb Bush's collapse in the Potemkin village, I always thought it was unfair to say a president, we couldn't let one brother succeed another brother as president. It's worked out very well in Cuba. But, you know, that was, I mean, I think the Trump thing, I agree with both Gloria and Chris on Trump and his agility and his real genius for contemporary. He's about as deep as a birdbath. He has said nothing of substance in this whole campaign. He speaks in bumper stickers, make America great again. That's it. What the hell does that mean? You ask him a question, he doesn't have an answer. He doesn't issue white papers or policy papers. I mean, the guy, he talked about his sister as a federal judge and was establishing her bona fides as a conservative and said, well, she signed a bill as judge with Sam Alito.
Sam.
Joe Alioto. We're in California.
Those days.
That's right. But I mean, you know, judges don't sign bills. This is kind of like how a bill becomes a law. You know, it passes the House, passes the Senate, and the president signs it. I mean, he's substance-free in that sense.
Okay, Gloria, let's see your reaction. A few weeks ago, Trump accused Secretary Clinton of playing the woman card. Secretary Clinton responded by creating cards to sell to donors. What role do you think gender will play in the general election?
As Donald Trump would say, a huge role. Gender always plays a big role. You know, every 4 years we talk about the gender gap. Right now there's a gender chasm. It's not a gap. And Hillary Clinton is not going to let that go away. And I think that Donald Trump understands, and talking to his people, I can tell you this, they've got a problem. Nobody loves women more than I do, he says. And I do believe gender is going to be a huge issue. And by the way, it might have been an issue anyway, because Hillary Clinton's candidacy is historic in this country, right? So it's going to be an issue. The interesting thing to me in looking at the Sanders-Clinton
race,
Bernie Sanders got young women.
That's right.
And when I was out on the campaign trail and I was at a Sanders rally,
yep.
I gathered a group of a few young women and I said, okay, so you have Hillary Clinton running who could become the first woman president in this country. Mm-hmm. Then, but you're supporting Bernie Sanders. Does gender matter to you? And these young women, and it was astonishing to me, but so interesting at the same time, not my generation, these are millennials, I would guess, said to me, we're going to have a woman. Of course we're going to have a woman president.
Yeah.
So that shouldn't matter. Mm-hmm. So younger women think that, yeah, of course we're going to have a woman.
Yeah.
Don't give me that, right. Play that history card with
You're absolutely
me.
Absolutely right.
And I found it eye-opening for me, but I do think gender will be an issue. And we've heard Trump go on about Bill Clinton, and that will be an issue as well. And Hillary Clinton so far has handled it with sort of a cool disdain, I would call it. And we'll have to see how that goes, because well, he's going to continue.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty clear that Trump, he was on the news this morning and said, I think the commentator was saying, well, why don't you talk about women's issues? At least you're talking about issues, because he said, I love women, et cetera, et cetera. And so he was saying, well, why don't you talk about women's issues? And he immediately went to the enabler issue with Hillary, that this is something that, you know, women don't support. So he's clearly going to use that kind of issue during the campaign. Is that going to be successful?
It's incredibly high risk.
Yeah,
it's just high risk. Just talking, forget the morality of it or the truth of it. You're asking people to make a leap there. And I agree, he's fighting an underdog campaign. He's got to take some chances. Well, this is a Hail Mary that I don't know about. I think to get women to think that Hillary's responsible for Bill is just hard. It's just hard. And I also think that we live in a country where divorce is common and people do really respect marriages that last. And they just do. They do. We love it when we hear, how many years have you been married? 52. Wow, everybody applauds. They don't know what the years were like, but they applaud. We just like it. It's like we love marriages. We love weddings. We like people to stick together. It's just basically our social glue. I mean, it makes so primordial sense to me. And to go out and say that she's somehow responsible for it. I just think it's a hell of an argument to be making. It's a heroic, crazy argument that I don't think is going to work. And I don't think it's going to. I thought Hillary Clinton, the way she handled the Michigas, the craziness of 98, the way she handled it, which is kind of with the stoic, like The Good Wife, although I hated the last show the other night.
Terrible. Terrible.
Hated it.
It was awful.
I waited 7 years for that dreck.
Terrible.
I mean, it was terrible.
Alicia,
and
get out.
Stop. You can't write. Don't do the show anymore.
Yeah.
I did think that she handled it. And the way she stoically said, after the initial denial, and she accepted what had happened, and we realized that she'd gotten a full truth thrown at her, I think people said, you know what? Given the circumstance, she handled this better than most people would have handled it.
Mm-hmm.
She took it with strength, and she went on and got involved with helping Chuck Schumer. Then she helped New Yorkers invite her up there because she's the only person who could have beaten Rudy. She went up there facing Rudy, thinking she'd have to run against him, which would have been very hard. Mm-hmm. He gets out of the race. She wins the thing. She earned it. People would laugh their guts off at her losing. Isn't it great Hillary lost? She had guts to do that. So I think she's earned her spurs here in a lot of ways. And to just throw it all back at her now is so yesterday. I think it's a mistake.
It's a real yesterday.
If in fact Hillary Clinton does win, though, it does mean that Bill Clinton's in the White House all day, every day, by himself.
Or not.
You do have a sense of humor. I agree with you, but what are you going to do about that? I don't know. I just don't.
Well,
all marriages are different.
I think you'll be doing a lot of assignments overseas. No.
What? What, Leon?
I think he'll be doing a lot of assignments overseas.
Wouldn't you just love to hear it sometime, just to hear the conversation between them? The political conversation.
Let me add, I think, Chris, to your point, you may think it's high risk, but he will use it. And, he will ride that horse through election day.
To take Bill out of the race.
That's right.
That's what he's trying to do.
But that's been his style. Mm-hmm. His style in the campaign has basically been to insult the opposition.
And when it doesn't work, he stops. It's interesting. I mean, it has backfired on him a bunch of times. The Heidi Cruz retweet is a perfect example. And then he stopped. Like he understand. He moves on when he has to. And in that particular case, he did. Now, I think they believe, and I agree with everybody here, it's risky on Hillary, but he is trying to take Bill Clinton out of the picture, reminding people of how tired they are of the Clinton fatigue issue, how tired they are of the Clintons, and he'll do it until he believes it's not working for him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But just about the gender thing, because I agree, younger women, I mean, I haven't talked to my daughter about this enough. I agree the numbers show that women who've been through, like our generation, mm-hmm. has been through it. Women know what it was like to deal with the office, to deal with the promotion problems, to deal with the pay thing. They know it's all real. My wife ran for office recently. She talked about it. She's younger than me, but she's been through a lot of this thing before things got better. And I don't think it's the same for people 20 years old today. And I think in some law schools, there's more women than men. It's just a different thing. But so I don't think it worked. But I do think when they see a guy like Trump going after a woman per se, and what looks like going after her because she's a woman or playing that card, I think there might be an interesting strategic defense thing that comes up. And everybody's going to say, wait a minute, I may not be voting gender, but I'm damn well not going to let a guy run against my gender. And I think it might be interesting. I think it's risky.
One historical note. In 1984, when Walter Mondale ran against Ronald Reagan, Dick Wortham was Ronald Reagan's pollster. They polled every night. It was one night all year. You would call that was a blowout, 49 states. One night all year where Mondale led Reagan. It was the night of the day that he had chosen Geraldine Ferraro as his running mate. And there was a surge of feeling. I had the same feeling myself, I remember, as the idea of my wife, my daughter, my mother, whatever. It was rather emotional. And as long as she was Geraldine Ferraro, she was fine. Then it turned out she was Mrs. John Sicaro, and that was that became a problem. But I say that because you can't play the gender thing, the Clintons can't, and not expect that there'd be some reaction on the male side.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get tired of hearing she's the victim, and she's being victimized. And it's a very, very tricky political path to travel. And I think, I don't know if I saw agreement from you, I thought I did, but I mean, that, you can't make her Joan of Arc. At the same time, she's Eleanor Roosevelt, and yet this poor little Nell in the corner being picked upon. And I think, you can get a confusion there, and men just say, hey, wait a minute. And we're talking about men who feel that they've been left behind and left out of the equation in many...
Can I just say, when you're a woman, it's hard not to run as a woman.
Of all the cheap shots tonight, that's the best. It really is. I'm not saying she doesn't run as a woman. I'm saying she, if she keeps harping on she's being picked on as a woman, or her campaign raises that while he's going after her, he's a vicious, chauvinistic sexist. Yeah. I think you run the risk of its boomerang.
You can overdo it. Honestly.
Okay, who should Hillary and Donald select as a running mate?
Oh, God. The one I want for Hillary, she won't pick, so I won't name him.
Who?
I think along these lines, you should pick a guy a little different than would naturally be a Hillary guy. But I don't think she'll do it, so I'm not going to bring it up.
Come on.
No, we're being recorded. I think she's going to pick Tim Kaine, the former governor, current senator from Virginia, because Virginia is one of those states you want to pick up. He speaks Spanish fluently, which should help in the Hispanic community in this country. I don't know if he speaks with an accent or not, but I hear he's really good. That'll help. He's also clean as a whistle in a state she needs. Catholic, I don't know if that means anything anymore. He's Catholic. I think that I would have picked, if I were her, but it's tricky, I would have picked Sherrod Brown from Ohio. I think in the ideal circumstances, he's perfect. He went to Yale, but he doesn't let it show.
Yeah.
He's got a rough union kind of voice, or a gravel voice, real union kind of guy.
This is not Jerry Brown.
Sherrod Brown.
Yeah. The trouble is that Sherrod Brown's up for re-election this year, and Kasich would get their name as replacement.
No, he's not up. Portman's up.
Portman's up. I'm sorry, there's another
reason. Oh,
no,
it doesn't matter.
He's up. No, he would get the appointment anyway, because it would be a vacancy. You're right. So he gets the vacancy.
Kasich.
So you can't put, you can't go with Sherrod Brown, because Hillary's not going to take a while. I would do it, but Hillary won't. Hillary's just not that wild in the way she does stuff. She will pick. I hope she doesn't pick an Hispanic just to pick an Hispanic. I think that'd be a mistake. I think you got to pick somebody, whoever it is, who people believe is presidential material from the first moment. I don't like Dick Cheney's politics, but he looked like a presidential material. I think Gore could be different kind of Gores depending on the day you meet him. But Gore was a very good move for Clinton. Pick somebody you think looks like a president to the guy naming him. Don't pick a John Edwards. Never again, or Sarah Palin again. Never pick another Dan Quayle. Stop this. Stop this boutique VP thing. Stop it. Pick somebody you honestly believe should be president. It's your first big grown-up move. Don't do it, because if you do that, we know it's a game to you, because you don't think this person is presidential material. So why are you picking them? And I really think that's a first grade test. And I would look at Tim, and on the other side, for Trump, I would go, look, he doesn't have a pick of the crop, because a lot of them are going to say no. He needs, you know, Rubio on a good day is okay. He seems like okay. I'm not a big fan, but it might make sense to offset some of the Hispanic problem he's created himself. Rubio would also help him in Florida, although I hear he's not that popular in Florida anymore. But then again, I would go, personally, I'd go with a guy I like, because I just like him, Kasich. I'd pick Kasich as my running and beg him to take the job. And promise him all kinds of special responsibilities, anything it took to get him on the ticket, because that gives you Ohio. And that means we start breaking into that area of NFL, my idea of it, Trump voters, an NFL fan with a red face, big jobber on, rooting for a team that probably is losing. You know, the Bears or the Lions or the Eagles or the Steelers. One of those guys up there on a freezing cold day, rooting for this team that's losing. That guy's for Trump, potentially. A guy like Kasich fits. That's what I think.
Gloria?
I think Kasich fits. He has said over and over again, not only doesn't he want it, I've had people on his staff say to me 100% he wouldn't do it.
Which means
nothing. He has said to me I'd be the worst vice president, even worse than Joe Biden is the way he put it. He said because I'm the top guy.
He didn't say that, did he?
He did. He said, I'm the top guy. I'm the number one guy, not a number two guy.
Oh, John.
John just concluded he knew bad by himself.
Yeah.
But I think Kasich would be great. After all of this, it would surprise me if he did it. Honestly, it would surprise me if he did it.
I think Hillary should pick Kasich. Shake everything up. She'll never do it. But that would be the wild thing to do. End this partisanship crap with a big statement. And say, we're going to try to work together.
I would try to. Be interesting.
Yeah, Mr. Secretary, I'm not even going to try to figure that one out on the Democrat side or the Republican side. I would just remind us of this fact. Florida and Ohio are not swing states for Republicans. They are must-win states for Republicans.
So pick two vice presidents.
I think Kasich would, if he would do it, but he's been pretty adamant that he's not going to do it. In Florida, I would think the first rule of thumb is to pick a running mate that can win his state. And yeah. Rubio did not win his state, but. You know, that I don't think that's a risky pick. I think it would be a good pick. And the importance of winning your state, everybody thought that the year 2000, that Florida and the Chads, that was the story. I think the story was Al Gore not winning Tennessee. Had he won Tennessee, he would have been the president.
Mm-hmm. How about New Hampshire? He'd won New Hampshire.
He would have won the election. Yeah.
New Hampshire.
I mean, come on.
Mark, you go along with these recommendations?
No. I mean, I've known John Kasich for 30 years, all right? Very quickly, Barack Obama rose to 51% favorable. Why did he rise to 51% favorable? Because people were comparing him to Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. Obama said, look, I haven't been this high since I was picking a major in college. Okay?
That was a great line of his.
He said it. That's where this figures out. John Kasich looks great because he wasn't Ted Cruz and he wasn't Donald Trump. If you're gonna pick on the basis of quality and character and intelligence, that Hillary Clinton ought to pick Tim Kaine.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen.
Tim Kaine.
Thank you all. Please thank our panel.